Guy Garvey with Angela's Eyes. I was just moving like a snake to that song. You could make a snake dance, I think.
Thanks that, very much.
With that synthesizer. I love that song. Angela's Eyes, Guy Garvey, gerade gehört am Freitagnachmittag. Der Mann, dessen Stimme man sonst auf Elbow-Platten hört, er spielt morgen Abend im Postbahnhof, um dort seine erste Soloscheibe Courting the Squall zu präsentieren. Jetzt ist er bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen über die befreiende Arbeit am Solowerk, das innerhalb von 19 Wochen komponiert und produziert worden ist. Wir finden heraus, wie Peter Gabriel Guy als Sänger einst inspirierte. Wir sprechen über eine abgesagte Show in Brüssel und vieles mehr. Zunächst aber sage ich nochmal Hello, Guy. So great to see you again. Welcome.
Good to see you, man.
How are you doing today?
I'm great, thank you.
Having a day off or are you busy promoting the record?
Just coming to see you guys today.
Nice.
I'm going to go and do some Christmas shopping.
All right,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Interesting. And it's a nice weather situation out there. I mean, it's
beautiful.
It's not typical for this time of the year in Berlin.
Do you know, I deliberately chose to make this record and tour it at this time of year because I've got such fond memories of being in Europe in this time of year in the cold.
Yeah.
It makes the tour bus really cozy.
Yeah. What a good reason to tour during the winter and the fall.
Yeah.
It's a cozy bus situation. All of a sudden, it's not sweaty, it's not as stinky maybe as in summer, right?
Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah. Sounds like a plan to me. So congratulations on your first solo records. Thanks. How strange was entering the studio without the band, and how strange was leaving the studio after 9 weeks only?
I have to say it's been an experiment. I didn't know if it would work, but I got the chance to work with people I've wanted to work with for years.
Yeah,
some of them old friends, some of them new friends. And the whole thing's been a joy, really.
Yeah, cool. And I mean, 9 to 10 weeks, that's the amount of time that you normally use for a bass drum sound of the first song of an Elbow record,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because when you finish an Elbow record in 18 months,
yeah,
the band would be like, oh, I think we've been too fast.
Yeah, absolutely. It's usually 2.5 years to make an Elbow record. I think because there's 5 writers and we all have to agree on everything, you know, we could co-produce a cup of tea.
Yeah, yep. I'm the co-producer of this cup of tea. That's a nice way of explaining the elbow situation. But I mean, it must have felt strange to leave the studio after only 9 weeks. Did you kind of like think about going back in there, or did you know that it's good to go for a raw record?
Well, so much of what Elbow does is very grand, very detailed, very cinematic, and I love that about it, and I'll be going back to writing with them in January.
Yeah.
But for my own part, I wanted to do something that sounded more spontaneous, that wasn't as polished, and that's what I've done, I think.
Yeah, I love the record for that.
Thank you.
I love songs like Electricity.
Ah.
Because when I listened to the record for the first time, I was like, oh, there are some songs on there that could be on an album record. But when I listened to it for the second time, I realized, oh, no, there's more major, there's less minor on there. Mm-hmm. And there's a jazz song on there, actually.
Yeah. Well, a tricky thing writing a duet. I've only done it once before. Jolie Holland, who duets with me on Electricity, is one of my favorite ever artists.
And she's from the Yes, though, right?
That's right, yeah. And I'd never met her. I'd never spoken to her. And I just emailed her out of the blue, told her how much I loved the stuff, and asked her if she'd come to Real World, to Peter Gabriel's studio.
Uh-huh.
And she took a chance and she came over and we became great friends. And at the time, we both had transatlantic love affairs going on.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of obsessed with the phone cable that goes from under the sea in England to New York.
Yeah.
It took them 15 years to lay that cable.
Yeah.
It's 10 feet thick and it's 3,000 miles long.
Yeah.
And they were doing it by steamship.
So
if the cable snapped, they had to start again just so that people could talk to each other by telephone. So we talked about this and we wrote Electricity, which is about those late night phone calls.
Ah, see.
Yeah.
The thing is that her voice kind of reminds me of a time that is long gone as well. She sounds as if she had time traveled from the 20s into the real world studio of Peter Gabriel to sing that song with you.
Well, her whole vibe is she very much loves different traditions in music, and she's an old soul for sure.
Yeah, I can really hear that. Yeah. And she has a brilliant voice, and sometimes it crackles a little bit. It's not perfect, and that's something I love about voices as well. So let's listen to that jazzy vibe song called Electricity, featuring Jolie Holland hier, ein Auszug aus der Guy Garvey Soloplatte Courting the Squall, die er morgen auch nochmal vorstellen wird im Postbahnhof. folky stuff. Sounds great, guy.
Thank you.
I can really imagine you being a jazz crooner one day. I mean, you could really go for a whole record into this direction. Kind of, I think.
And do you know, I've started learning the trumpet.
Really?
Yeah, and I think in about 20 years' time, I'll be good enough to play jazz clubs on my own.
Yeah,
it's my retirement plan.
Yeah, it's a good one. But those jazzers, they're pretty good at their instruments, right?
Oh,
so you have to prepare for that part of your life, I think. You are a part of a big family. There's been a lot of brothers and sisters around you when you grew up. And I've read that you had used your sister Becky as a sounding board when it came to talking about elbow lyrics. Did you ask her for her opinion this time as well for the solo record?
Always. Yeah, she loves all the different kinds of music that I've been into because of Becky, really, that I have such a wide-ranging taste. And I was pleasantly surprised, because you never know with Becky. She'll always be honest, even if it's hurtful, yeah.
Yeah. And she was the one who presented Peter Gabriel to you way back when?
Yeah.
Because that's something I just found out today. I've been talking to you for a few times already, and I've been listening to Elbow for ages now.
Yeah.
And I've always thought, I love his voice. I love the way he sings so much. And now today I found out that you were kind of like inspired by Peter Gabriel.
Yeah.
And at that moment, when I read that, I was like, oh yeah, there's a little Peter Gabriel in Guy Garvey.
Of course, yeah. I think I learned to sing, really, to Peter's records.
Yeah.
So I've been working in real world as well now. I've been working in real world for 17 years, on and off. And Peter's become a good friend.
You've recorded your very first Elbow album there too as well, right?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, man.
All those years ago on V2, we did a couple of records.
Yeah.
When your music was on the same label.
Yeah. It must have been such a great... it still must be such a great studio, because I've seen pictures and it's called The Real World, but it's looking like a surreal situation, more or less, right?
He built it in an old mill and built on a river.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the river goes underneath the studio.
Yeah.
You can see it through the floor. And it's one of the last cathedrals built to the writing and recording of music.
Yeah.
It's in the heart of the most beautiful part of the British countryside. And, you know, we saw moorhens building nests on the lake, and swans and things outside. And yeah, very beautiful.
This must be so great. And I'm asking you about that studio as well, because when you started with Elbow, you were able to go there, you were able to record on tape. And I was asking myself, how important was the fact that Elbow was formed in that kind of time where you could enter a studio where you didn't have to record an album entirely in your fucking living room, with one computer only? Because I think the size of a studio and the amount of time spent on Elbow records, they are really important features, right?
I think if you go to a residential studio, if you go to one of these old places, on paper it looks expensive, but what you do in 2 weeks, if all you're doing is that, the music and how much you go into your music in that 2 weeks, you wouldn't do the same work in 6 months at home or if your day was interrupted by having to commute. So they really are amazing value for money if you look at it like that. You go further on your music, you go further on the production, and you have an unforgettably positive experience.
That's true. And you don't work with the computer too much, because that's the one thing that I really love about Elbow records is the fact that there's little tiny mistakes on there. You know, there's a guitar solo that's way too loud into some of the songs, or you know, and that's what keeps the music alive, and that's what makes you want to listen to the music again and again and again. Whereas those computer productions, you listen to the same song two times and you'd be like, okay, I know the song now.
Yeah.
It's quantized. It's over-compressed.
Too clean.
Yeah.
No, it can really be the ruin of songs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people use it as a good creative tool. For instance, what's that song? What are they called? Charlie Darwin. Do you know that song? Who's it? Little lad. Charlie Darwin. I can't remember the name of the band off the top of my head, but that is really quantized, really tuned, but overly so.
Yeah.
But it actually really suits the song, you know.
But I still think if you listen to that song like five times in a row, you'd be bored. Whereas if you listen to an old Marvin Gaye song where you can hear him stomping in the background.
I suppose, so there's new things to find.
Yeah. After a thousand times of listening to Ain't No Mountain High Enough, you'd be like, oh, I can hear him stomping. That's crazy. I can not only hear his voice, he's stomping like a motherfucker.
You know, and it's funny, the music producers that have survived this era of being able to record in your bedroom are the ones that get a band to play live and capture a vibe.
Yeah.
I think it's really important that you enjoy the recording experience because one of the Elbow records, I won't say which one in case it's somebody's favourite, but it was recorded under such pressure that I never listen to it now because I even though I'm proud of the songs we wrote, I just associate it with a hard time in the studio.
Yeah.
So if you don't enjoy the record, if you don't feel energised throughout it, it doesn't matter how good it is, you're not going to be as proud of it.
Yeah. Speaking of records and experiences, we have to ensure people that the solo record of Guy Garvey is not the end of Elbow, right?
Oh,
because
no.
Some people were afraid. They were like, because it happens all the time, right? One guy does a solo record, everybody's like, no, what's happening to the band? But we can...
We start again in January. We start writing again in earnest in January. It was just something I've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
I realised I could fit it in without getting in the way. And also, all the boys have projects they want to do. So Steve Mason from the Beta Band, who's opening up for us at the Post Barn Off tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
He's got a solo record coming out, and Craig from Elbow produced it.
Ah, see.
So we're keeping it in the family. And also, when we get to the UK leg of the tour, my guitarist, Mark, his band are opening up for us over there. He's got a blues outfit called the Plumadors. So everybody's doing their own little side projects just as a little bit of a stretch, you know. It's like keeping the marriage alive, spicing up the marriage a bit.
Sounds like a plan to me again. You do have your own radio show on Radio 6, The Finest Hour. Beautiful show name, by the way.
Thank you very much. This show is called
The Morning Show in the Afternoon, which is not bad as
That's
well.
That's pretty
right?
good, yeah, yeah.
But The Finest Hour is a very good show name.
For a two-hour show.
Yeah. Even better. But I really think it's nice because it suggests that it's the best part of BBC 6. That's a good thought. But what is it about? What kind of music are you presenting there?
Everything from Nina Simone to the latest thing off the block. You know, I'm currently in love with a Russian three-piece called Nooms, who are great, amazing. They're from Perm in Russia. They're sort of space rock.
Cool.
But I play everything, old school hip hop. I've occasionally played opera.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's just wherever my head's at one time.
Ah, cool.
I get listeners to make recommendations rather than requests.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in the middle of a love affair with Afrobeat.
Good.
So, you know, lots and lots of different stuff.
Cool. So, tomorrow night's show, who's in the band with you?
I've got Peter Jobson from I Am Clute, who's my best buddy in many years. Uh-huh. He's playing guitar. Nathan Sudders from The Whip and Alex from Bat for Lashes on drums.
What? It's a fucking super group, man.
Absolutely.
What?
And a three-piece horn section that go out with Elbow all the time.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Oh, it's going to be so beautiful. I'm already looking forward to tomorrow's show.
Great, man. Thank you.
With the horn section and everything. So I want to thank you for visiting us.
Thanks, man.
Keep up the good work. Say hi to the others in the band. And as soon as you've got some more material, you visit us again. We'll talk a bit more.
Thanks for having me. Lovely to see you.
Yeah, Guy Garvey, morgen im Postbahnhof. Und wer da hingehen möchte, der kann mich jetzt noch schnell anrufen. Ich habe Tickets unter der 030 2000 9000 zu verlosen. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück ruft mich noch schnell an und gewinnt Eintrittskarten für Guy Garvey morgen im Postbahnhof. Thank you, Guy.
Thanks, man.